we're starting here on the bottom of Kuftet Zayin and Mudbet. The Gemara says over here, Ubishilo layu elishne machanot bilvad. As opposed to the Midbar, where we know that there are three different machanot, there's machane Shechina, there's machane Levia, and then there's machane Yisrael. And we saw that the Braita from Masechet Kelim, the Tosefta tells us that there's a parallel between those three machanot in the Midbar and that which took place in Yerushalayim. And that is that the machane Shechina is equivalent to the Azara and inwards in the Beit Olamim, in the Beit HaMikdash. Machane Levia is from Sharni Ganor, which is the beginning of Azara. The entire Harabait is like Machane Levia. And then the entire city of Yerushalayim, inside the walls of Yerushalayim, that's considered to be the equivalent of Machane Yisrael. So the three Machanot that we had in the Midbar are paralleled by those three different areas in Beit Olamim in the time of Yerushalayim. But the Gemara here makes a statement that in Shiloh, there are only two machanot. There weren't three machanot. And the Gemara wants to know, hey, minayu lo havo. Which one of the three machanot didn't exist in the time of Shiloh? So, Amar Rabba, Mistavro, the machane Levia havai. It has to be that the machane Levia was there. Dizagadatcha machane Levia lo havai. Because if you believe that machane Levia did not exist, Nimtzu'u zavin tmei mitim mishtachim chutz the machane achat. Because then it'll turn out that the zavin and tamei meit are sent out to the same location. And the Torah says about that, lo yitamu et machanehem. That in the Shiluach HaMachaneh, that's written in Parshat Naso, over there it says that you have to send out those that are tmeim from the machaneh, in order, shalo yitamu et machanehem, so that they should not defile their machanot. Tein machaneh lezeh, umachaneh lezeh. Machanehem, in plural, comes to teach you that each type of tumah has its own machaneh, and therefore they can't overlap in where they are sent to. Now just me'ikar halacha, the way that it works is that a tameh meit is able to enter in Machane Yisrael, but also into Machane Levia. The only area that he's precluded from is the area of Machane Shechina. So that means in Midbar he's allowed into the area of Machane Levi, Machane Yisrael. He just wasn't allowed into the area of the Chatzer Ol Moed. In Beit Olamim, it means he could be in Yerushalayim, he could be on Har HaBayit. He just couldn't enter Shar Nikanor, he couldn't enter into the area of the Azara or Zerat Yisrael. There was a Takana that pushed the Tameh Meit outside of the Zerat Nashim, outside of the Chel, but that's all a Din Derabonon. But Midoraito, that's the division. On the other hand, a Zav and any other person who is Tameh, Bituma, Hayotse Mikufo, the cause of the Tuma is something that is emitted or that leaves the body of the individual. So that type of tumah is not only precluded from being in the Machane Shechina, it's also precluded from being in Machane Levia. So that means for Yerushalayim, that means that they have to be outside of the Azara, but also outside of Har HaBayit. They're not allowed onto Har HaBayit if they have tumah, you'd say, Migufan. That's why today those people that want to go up to Har HaBayit, they stay on the perimeters of Har HaBayit, which means that they're not anywhere in the areas that would have been the Azara. And Har HaBayit, someone who's Tameh Meit is allowed to be there, but not someone as Tuma Yotze Migufo. So that means that, for instance, a woman who's in Nida can't go up there, as well as a man who has a seminal emission also cannot go there, because that's Tuma Yotze Migufo. So if he's a Tameh Tumat Balkeri, he has to go to the mikveh. So that's why people go up to Har HaBayit, make sure to go to the mikveh, in order that they are not tamei tumat ayotze migufo. Tamei meit, we can't take care of today. So that's where those people stay. They stay on the outskirts of Har HaBayit. But that's because the tamei meit is allowed to machane levia, but those that have tumat ayotze migufan are not allowed to machane levia. So the problem you have here is if you eliminate machane levia, that means that the tamei meit is sent out of machane shechina, normally he would be in machane levia. The zav and all his counterparts that are Tumei Yotze Migufan, they'd be sent out of Machane Shechina and out of Machane Levia. So he'd be in Machane Yisrael. And that would be distinction between that which is Tamei, Tamei Meit, and that which is Tamei, Tumata Zav. If you eliminate Machane Levia, that means that both the Zav and the Tamei Meit are going to be thrown out of the Machane Shechina, and they're both going to end up in the Machane Yisrael. And that means now they have the same Machane, and we just learned from the Pasuk that each one of them has to have their own individualized Machane. So I'm like, Rava, what type of answer is that? Ella, Mai. So what are you going to suggest? Okay, it wasn't Machane Levia that wasn't there. Machane Yisrael, lo havai? There was no Machane Yisrael. Now obviously, Machane Shechina exists because the presence of the Shechina makes it the Machane Shechina exists. So, Machane Shechina is there. You said you can't eliminate Machane Levia. It only leaves you one option, which is to eliminate the Machane Yisrael. But then you run into another problem. Nimtzu zavin umitzurim ishtachim lemakom echad. That means that someone who's tamei tumat zav and someone who's tumat mitzurah, end up in the same location. That is that we have three different types of sending out. Tamemet sent out of Machne Shechina. Zav is sent out of Machne Shechina and Machne Leviya. Metzora is sent out of all three. Machne Shechina, Leviya, and Israel. But if you eliminate Machane Israel, that means that both the Zav and the Metzora are going to end up in the same location. The Zav has to leave Machane Shechina and Leviyah to be out, but then the Metzora has to leave Machane Israel. But if there is no Machane Israel, there's nowhere for him to go. That means that he's in the same location as the Zav. And then you have a Torah Amrah, but Dad Yeshev. With regards to the Metzora, it says that he sits alone. He is secluded. He's in solitary confinement. Mechutz LaMachane. Shalei Yeshev Tamei Acher Imo. Other people with other tumot should not be in his vicinity. So that would mean that you can't have the same place where the Metzora is found that the Zav is found. Ella, the Olam Kulu Tlat Ahavu. All three machanot were there in Shiloh as well. That is, it was a Machane Shechina, a Machane Leviyah, and a Machane Yisrael. Umay lo hayu ala shtei machanot. What does it mean that there were only two machanot in the time of Shiloh? Liklita. That was for refuge. That was for the ability of someone who kills Vishogeg to seek refuge or take refuge in those areas. There were shtei machanot in the time of Shiloh for Klita. So now, the Mari here says that it means shtei machanot. Michlal. That infers that Bamidbar avay koletet Machane Leviya. That in the Midbar, Machane Leviya functioned as an ir mikolat, or an area where Rotzchim could go to escape to. So it's not clear here in Shiloh what are the shtei machanot that are being mentioned by the Gemara that were different or differentiated from that which was in the Midbar. So it's clear that what the Midbar had above that was that Machane Leviya functioned as an ir mikolat. That is not true in the time of Shiloh. So the question is, what was true in the time of Shiloh? So the Sfat Emet speculates the possibility that there was the Machane Shechina, which is that if you grab onto the Mizbeach, that could protect you from being killed. And then there's the Machane Yisrael, where you have the Ari Mikolat, or you have the Ari Leviyim, which protect you. And absent in there is that Machane Leviyah did not function as a place of refuge for the Rotzeach. So that would be the Shalosh Machanot, and that's where you'd explain it. The problem is that most believe that it's only the Mizbeach and the Mikdash that serves that way, not the Mizbeach and the Mishkan or in Shiloh. And so therefore he leaves it as a tzarchion as to what the Shtei Machanot are. Possibility of explaining that the Shtei Machanot are that you have the Arei Miklat and you have the Arei Leviim. That you have both those Arei Miklat and the Arei Leviim, which are two, and they don't have Machane Leviya. In the Midbar, in addition, they had Machane Leviya, even though truthfully they didn't have the others, which are the Arei Miklat and the Ir Leviim. But that's what it means over here, Shtei Machanot, that it doesn't have that which is parallel with the Midbar, that Machane Leviya function that way. And the Gemara says, Michlau de Midbar ave kalta Machane Leviya. So you're telling me that based on that in the Midbar, Machane Leviya did function as an ir mikolat. Or it says, yes, that was, Vatanya. And we have a Breita Minichuta. I mean, this is supportive of that view, that there was Klita in Machane Leviya in the Midbar. Breita Minichuta quotes the Pasuk from Perkhof Aleph in Mishpatim, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Asher lo tzada melukim inal yado, someone who killed Bishogeg, samti lecha makom asher yenu shama. I'm going to make a place for you, a place of refuge where they should run to. To break the darshans from that, samti lecha makom bechayecha, in your lifetime. Rashi claims that that's a reference to that which is said in Parshat Etchanan, where it says az yavdil Moshe shlosharim, that at the end of the 40 years in Arvot Moav, that Moshe already establishes in Eiver Yordain the three arei miklat that function in Eiver Yordain, and Yoshua is the one who puts into place the other three on the western side of the Yardane. Others, like the Ritva, suggest that it's really a reference to what we're going to see upcoming, which is that Bichayecha means while you're alive in the Midbar, your Machane will function as an Ir Miklat. And that's what it means, Bichayecha. And then it seems to say over here, Makom Mikomcha, your place, although Rashi's Girsa seems to be Lecha Makom. Lecha Makom Mikomcha. And that means both the fact that your location will act as a city of refuge, but also the Chamakom. You will have a place of refuge, meaning that even a Levi that kills Mishogeg, he needs to go to an Eir Miklat. Asher Yanu Shama, Malameid Shemaglin B'Midbar. You learn from that that they did go into Galut in the Midbar. Eichan Golin, where do they get put into Galut? Machane Leviya. And that's the Chamakom before. So the Chamakom has two functions. One is that your location will be the city of refuge, and that is Machane Leviya. In addition, it also teaches you that if you are a Levi, you still need to go into Galut. And then the Mikan Amru is either a derivative of one of those two items. Either Mikan Amru is that Arei Leviim in Eretz Yisrael are also functioning as cities of refuge, not just the Arei Miklat. And that's a derivative of the fact that Machane Leviya functioned that way in the Midbar. Or Mikan Amru is that a Ben Levi that kills Vishogeg he needs to go into Galut, whether he goes to another Ir Levi, or he goes to another district within there, it works, because of the Machane Leviah in the Midbar function. So even though he lived there, it still functioned as a Makom that was Galut for him if he killed Bishogig. And that's what it means. Ben Levi Shaharag, a Ben Levi that kills, Golem Mipelech Lepelech. He runs from one city to another city. Ve'im Gala Lepocho. If he ended up being exiled to his own city, Pocho Koto. His city does accept him, or he does attain refuge in that city. Mikra, how do you know that's the case? Amravacha Breid Ravika, Ki Be'ir Miklato Yeshev, Ir Shekaltato Kvar. He will reside in the Ir Miklat. The Gemara dashes from that. What does it mean, Ir Miklato? Ir Shekaltato Kvar. The city that he already had taken refuge in. The Posuk actually is darshined in other places to mean that if someone kills while they're already in the Ir Miklat, meaning that they were already sentenced to be there because of a killing Mishogeg, and it happens again, then Kibi Ir Miklato Yeshev, Ir Shekalatato Kavar. City where he already took refuge can continue to take refuge in that city, meaning that it will provide him the protection that he's seeking that city. Now, Rashi describes over here, and the Bali Tosfot note this, that there are two different suggestions over here about how to go about being in the Ir Miklat. There's Mipelach to Pelach, which means from one city to the next city. And there's another suggestion, which is even within your own city, you just have to move from neighborhood to neighborhood. From Rashi, it sounds like Lechatchila, the right way to do this. And the best way to do this is for you to move from city to city. If you're Oreg B'Shulgeg, you move out of the city that you're resident in, and move to the other city where you will attain that Kapara. On the other hand, Bidi Avad, if he ends up back in his own city, Rashi says, then his own city is Koletoto, but he's got to move Mishkuna Lishkuna. He can't be in the same place or the same location he was before. He has to move to the next location in a new neighborhood within the city. So what Rashi seems to indicate, this is what Tosafot says in Rashi's name, is Shema Hainu Lechatchila. Lechatchila, it should be the Ben Levi Gole Me'ilir. About the Avad, but with the Avad, Aminan Deim Gole Letoch Pachol Pachol Kolto. If he's exiled within his own city, then his own city does work as a city of refuge. It just has to be in another neighborhood. And then he says, V'chen mashma perisha kutus. That's what it sounds like Rashi's saying. Inami. Now he offers an alternative, which is, Gam lechatchila ein zakuk letzeit min ha'ir. You can make a choice. Your choice lechatchila, whether you want to leave this city and go to another city, or you want to remain in your city and just move to a new neighborhood. Totally up to you. But, you have to know that that has ramifications. V'ha d'gola le'ir acheret, k'dei la'aleich kula u'betchumata. The advantage of going to a new city is that you get access to the entire city. And the entire city of refuge is considered to be your Dalet Amot, and the Tchum around the city also is included in that. So it gives you a huge expanse that is covered by you being in Ir Miklat. On the other hand, if you are Gole within your own city, from one Shkuna to another Shkuna, you can't leave that Shkuna, because otherwise it defeats the whole purpose of you being having Galut internally within the city. So therefore, over there, you're going to be limited to the location or the neighborhood in which you have moved to. So that's what Tosafot says. Either you can explain in Rashi that Chatchila Ishmi from city to city, Biti Avad, it can be within that city. The Bali Tosafot bring that explanation, and then bring the alternate explanation, which is, everything is the Chatchila. It's just a question of what you want your end game to be. If you make the choice to go to another Ir Miklat, then you get the full freedoms of living in an Ir Miklat. On the other hand, if you decide to stay in your own Ir Miklat and reduce the area in which you have access to, meaning moving from neighborhood to neighborhood, then you're going to have limited scope of where you can go, because you're going to be limited to that Shkuna. So you make the choice. Either one works, but we're making a recommendation, or we would suggest that you go to the other city so that you get the benefits of being in that city. Alright, so now the Gemara continues with what the Mishnah said, which is Bo the Gilgal. They came to Gilgal, which is there, the Bama Gedola sat, during the Sheva of Kibush V'Chiluk, 7 years of conquest, the 7 years of dividing up the land. And after that 14-year period, the Mishkan is brought to Shiloh, and then Shiloh is put into service. And the interim in the Gilgal, that's where the Bama Gedola sat. So Tarabanan, Kol Nidar V'Nidav, anything that is given or brought as a Neder, or nedava, those are voluntary offerings. We discussed many times in the past what's the difference between a neder and a nedava. But just to remind ourselves, a neder is where the person takes personal responsibility for the korban to be brought. A nedava is where he dedicates a particular object to be brought, but not that he warranties that. It's the object itself that is kodesh. Haya karev bibama. Kol nidar v'nidav is brought in a bama. And as Rashi notes over here, you must be speaking about a bama ketana, because for certain, in the bama gdola, they did bring korbanot that were chuvot tzibur, and that's because in Sefer Yoshua it tells us that they brought the Pesach b'Gilgal. And so that's obviously not on a bama ketana, but rather on the bama gdola. And for there we know that on the bama gdola you bring the chuvot tzibur, and then the yachid brings his korbanot on the bama ketana. He can bring those korbanot on the bama gdola, but only the same korbanot that he brings on the bama ketana can he bring on the bama gdola, which does leave one issue outstanding, which Rashi deals with over here, and it's brought up numerous times, is the korban of Pesach. Korban of Pesach, which is a korban of yachid, despite the fact we know that they brought it on the bama b'Gilgal, and it was brought as a chuvah on the bama tzibur. Rashi explains that the korban of Pesach is really a korban tzibur, and that's because the akti b'knufaya. It's brought with all of Klai Yisrael together. And that is something that the Gemara, in a number of places, notes, that despite the fact that Korban HaPesach is really a Korban HaYachid, it's an obligation on individuals. It's not where Klai Yisrael as an entity brings the Korban. Nevertheless, because there's so many individuals doing the exact same thing at the exact same time, it takes on a status of a quasi-Korban HaTzibur. And then as Nafkuminot, it sits somewhere between a Korban HaYachid and Korban HaTzibur, but it has that status of Korban HaTzibur, and that's why they're able to bring it on the Bama Gdola in the Gilgal. She'ein nidar v'nidav, if it doesn't come as a voluntary offering, ein karev v'bama, then it's not put on a bama ktana. Mincha u'nizirut krevim v'bama. Both a mincha and a nizirut can be brought on a bama. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That is the position of Rabbi Meir. Chamim omrim, lo karvu yachid elo olot u'shlamim bilvad. Yachidim only brought olot u'shlamim, period. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kosher tzibur, Vayachid makrivim ba'ol moed shabim midbar. Anything that the tzibur or individuals brought on the mizbeach in the ol moed in the midbar, makrivim ba'ol moed shabim gilgal. You can bring whatever that is on the ol moed in the gilgal. So then, ma ben ol moed shabim midbar, the ben ol moed shabim gilgal. What is the difference between them, or is there any difference between them? Ol moed shabim midbar lo ayu b'mot mutarot. During the time period in which the Ol Moed was found in the Midbar, if it's not a Zman of Heter HaBamot, it's Zman Iser HaBamot. Ol Moed should be Gilgal. The other hand, when the Mishkan sat in the Gilgal and they had an Ol Moed there, Hayu HaBamot Mutarot. That's during a prior time period where the Bamot are Mutarot. O Bamato Shirosh Gago, and the Bama that is on the top of his roof, Lo Yimakriv Ola El Ola Ushlamim. You only can bring on that an Ola Ushlamim. And as Rashi notes here, V'hashto Poliga Rabbi Meir V'Rabbonon. This view clearly argues on Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, because he says, "Dein chiluk bo moed should midbar, the ol moed should be Gilgal." There's no difference between the ol moed and the midbar and the Gilgal. From that we hear that, according to Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, there is a distinction. And that distinction is that the yachid cannot bring korbanot, chova, according to the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, on a bamat yachid, nor on a bamat tzibur. On the other hand, for Rabbi Yehuda, anything that was done in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, can be done in the Gilgal, which means that even Yechidim can bring Chuvot on that Mizbeach that's found in the Gilgal, as long as they bring it to the Bamat HaTzibur. On the Bamat HaYachid, he agrees that there's a limitation that only Nidar v'Nidav can be brought on that. But once you come to the Bamat HaTzibur, it functions wholly like it did in the Midbar. But Chamim omrim, Chamim say, Kosher Tzibur makrivim bo moed shebi Midbar. Anything that was brought on the Ol Moed in the Midbar, makrivim bo moed shebi Gal. You're allowed to put it in the Ol Moed Shabilgal. Vikan, lo karvu yachid elola vishlamim bilvad. And here and there, meaning both on the Bamata Tzibur and the Bamata Yachid, lo karvu yachid elola shlamim bilvad. Yachidim are only allowed to bring olot and shlamim. So if you'll note over here, the chachamim here sound very similar to the chachamim that we saw before. The chachamim said, lo karvu yachid elola shlamim bilvad. And over here you have the same statement, that lo karvu yachid elola shlamim bilvad. Sounds like this is a repeat of the Chachamim's position from before. The Gemara will ask at the end of today's daf, what's the nafkamina between these two positions that sound exactly alike? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Tzibur Leikrivo El Psachim. Even the Tzibur itself only brought the Korban HaPesach, V'chovot HaKavua Lehem Zman, an obligatory Korbanot that have a fixed time to be brought. So Rabbi Shimon is the most radical view of Bamat HaTzibur, where he says that the Bamat HaTzibur only accepted psachim and items that have kavu lehem zman, have a fixed time when they need to be brought on the bamat tzibur. As Rashi notes over here, that excluded from that is things like paralam davar shel tzibur, sirei uvedat kochavim, lo karvulahem b'gilgal, because those are korbanot tzibur that are not kavulahem zman, that don't have a fixed time in which they are brought. So the Rabbi Shimon's most radical view here that the bamanat tzibur is not open to any korbanei tzibur, but only to particular types of korbanei tzibur, which are psachim or chovot that are kavulahem zman, obligatory offerings that have a fixed time period in which they need to be brought, or fixed time when they are brought. Though Tosafot does bring from Rabbi Shimon Shita later on in the Masechta, Rabbi Shimon seems to indicate that Chata'ot, HaKavu Alehem Zman, were also not brought on a Bama Gdola. And what he's saying here, that Chuvot, HaKavu Alehem Zman, is only Olot, and not Chata'ot. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon's even a more radical opinion here, that the Bama Tzibur didn't function the way it did in the Midbar, because they both did not have things that were not HaKavu Alehem Zman, and even within HaKavu Alehem Zman, only Olot, not Chata'ot, were brought. That means things like the Seir of Yom HaKippurim, the Seir HaMusafim, that were Chata'ot, even though they're Kavulahem Zman, they were not brought on the Bama Tzibur, according to Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara says, my taima de Rabbi Meir. Gemara goes back now and tries to understand what's the reasoning behind each of the positions that we find here. So Gemara first asks, what is the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir's position? Who started out the Braita with Kol Nidav V'Nidav, Hayakarei B'Bama. Anything that could be brought on a voluntary basis is brought at a Bama. Anything that is not brought on a voluntary basis is not put on a Bama. And Mincha and Izirut can be brought on a Bama. Again, we're speaking here about a Bama Ktana or a Bama Gdola, and that's the only things that a Yachid is allowed to bring on those areas. So now, the Gemara says, my time to Rabbi Meir, Damakra. The Pasuk says in Dvarim Yud Bet, which is, again, this week's Parsha, it says, with regards to coming into the land, it says, V'achaltem Shem lifnei Hashem l'keichem, usmachtem b'chol mishlach yadchem, atem uvatechem, asher berachah Hashem l'kecha, lo tasun kol asher anachnu osim po hayom. You may not do everything that we do here today, ish kol yashar beinav, each individual according to his own will or his own volition. Key, the reason for that is lo batem adata. At this point, you have not reached el menucha vel nachala. Menucha being Shiloh, nachala being Yerushalayim, asher Hashem lokecha noten lach. Since you haven't reached that point, and the pasuk tells us, then if you're not at that point, lo tasun kol asher anachnu osim po hayom, you may not do everything that we do here today. Rather, ish kol yashar beinav, the ish, meaning the Yachid, both on a Bama Ktana and a Bama Gdola, is governed by Ish, Kol HaYashar Be'inav. Only things that are considered to be Yisharot. And that's what the Gemara says over here. Amar Lehen, Moshe L'Yisrael, Ki Ailitu La'aretz. When you go into the land, Yisharot. Takrivu, those things that are Yashar, voluntary offerings, you should be Makriv. Kovot, Lo Takrivu. Obligatory offerings, you should not bring on a Bama Ktana or Bama Gdola. Menachot, Unizirut, Yashrot Ninu. A mincha is a voluntary offering. It's something that you could choose to bring. And nizirut is, even though once the nizirut expires, you have to bring korbanot that are korbanot chuva, nevertheless, the driving force behind those korbanot nizirut is someone who accepts another nizirut. And therefore, it's deemed to be similar to a voluntary offering. Mar says, Verabonon, who fundamentally agree with Rabbi Meir that the only things that are allowed are on Bamota Yachid, Bamota Tzibur, Olot Ushlamim. But the Rabbanon disagree with the 2 points, which is Ein Mincha B'Bama. There is no such thing as a Mincha B'Bama, and that we'll learn from the Psukim upcoming in the Gemara, where from Parsha Yachremot it says, Amar Asher Yaviu B'nei Yisrael Zivchehem, Asher Hahem Zovchim Al Pnei Asadeh, Beviyum LaHashem El Petach Umoed, so they darshin asher heim zovchim. Only zvachim are brought in these cases because over there we're speaking about shat heter abamot that later on became ezman of iser abamot. So there asher heim zovchim opnei asadeh is describing what was true during the period of heter habamot. Whereas Rabbi Meir learns it, as we're going to see later on, from a riboy, that anything that is similar to zvachim, which is Nidar v'Nidav, can be brought on the Mizbeach, and that would include Ofot, Minachot, Shlamim, Olot, any of those items. The Chachamim, on the other hand, see the word Zvachim as being a mute, and therefore it excludes both Minachot, and as the Vayit Tosfot point out here, also Ofot. And Tosfot just happens to point out here as well, that then it makes it difficult in Rabbi Huda's Shita, who later on says that there was no Minachot by a Bama, which means that there's also no Ofot by a Bama, whereas here in the Braita, he seems to indicate there was no difference between the Omoed and the Gilgal. And clearly in the Omoed, they did bring Minachot and they didn't bring Ofot. And so therefore he leaves it as a little bit of a question, a tzarechiyun, as to how you reconcile Rabbi Yehuda's position, which we'll deal with when we get there. Nizirut, when it comes to Nizirut, Chovot Ninu. Yes, entering into the original Neder Nizirut is a voluntary action. But once you've entered into it, you have no choice. You have to get the Korbanot done in order to free yourself of the restrictions of the Nizirut. And that becomes a chuva and not a nidava. Amar Shmuel, machloke bechatat v'asham, aval be'olot u'shlamim, divrei hakol, yisharot ninhu v'karvei. So what Shmuel does, at least at this stage, is switch the machloke between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim from being about whether the Nizirut is viewed as a chuva, or the Nizirut is viewed as a nidava, to focusing on the korbanot that are brought. And that is when a Nazir finishes his Nizirut b'tara, he brings an Ola, a Chatat, and a Shlamim. And if he is Tamei, then a Nazir Tamei brings a Korban of an Asham, which is the Asham Nizirut, and then he brings birds that are an Ola and a Chatat. So that here, what he's saying is that with regards to the Chatat and Asham, that's where they argue. Those Korbanot that normally are Chovot, with regards to Nazir, how do we view them? Rabbi Meir says, since they're in the context of Nizirut, they're considered to be Nidavot, and therefore they can be brought. Chamim say, these are Korbanot Chova. If they're Korbanot that normally come as a Chova, then even within the context of Nizirut, you can't bring them. Aval, Olot u'Shlamim, Tivri HaKol Yisharot Ninu. V'Karvei, everybody agrees that with regards to Olot and Shlamim, you can bring those Korbanot. They can be brought as Korbanot, because Olot and Shlamim, whether in the context of Nizirut, or whether outside the context of Nizirut, those are considered to be voluntary offerings. The Gemara challenges that and says, Motiv Rabbo, what about the fact that later on I'm going to say, Chazeh v'shok, u'trumat lach metoda, noagim be'bama gdola, ve'ein noagim be'bama ktana. When it comes to those things that are taken off of the Korban Shlamim, which is the Chazeh and the Shok, which are given to the Kohanim, and the trumat lach metoda, which is the chalot that are brought by a toda, 40 chalot are brought, 4 different types of chalot that are brought for a total of 40, and then one of each of those types is given to the Kohen as a truma. Those are brought on a bama gdola, but they're not brought on a bama kitana. And Rashi quotes the reason why this is true is because by these gifts that go to the Kohanim, it says, anif tnufa l'Hashem, that you have to do a wave offering before Hashem, v'lo b'bama. The mizbeach in the bama gdola, or the mizbeach in the mikdash is considered lifnei Hashem. By a bama kitana, that's not the case. Therefore, there's no din of chazeh v'shok or trumat lachmei todah with regards to a bama ktana. On the other hand, the Baal HaTosafot adds on top of that, that means that you can't bring these korbanot because you can't do the tenufa. He contrasts that with the mincha, which also requires a tenufa and a hagasha. And over there, we have an opinion that says you do bring menachot on a bama ktana. So why can't you say the same thing over here? Even though they're not able to do the tenufa, you can bring the korban without the tenufa. So Tosafot says that by the mincha, that's not an integral part of the korban, whereas by the shlamim and the todah, ikar mitzvatam b'tnufa. The major mitzvah of their hakrava is the tnufa itself. Hilkach b'deleila tnufa b'deleila inu. There's no tnufa, there's no korban at all. Aval mincha ikar mitzvata k'mitza b'aktara. The main aspect of the mincha is the k'mitza, taking that kometz off of it, and then putting it on the mizbech, and that you can still do. So therefore, by the mincha, it doesn't negate the ability to bring a mincha, but by the Shlamim and by the Korban Todah, it would negate one's ability to bring these Korbanot. Rashi, on the other hand, just sees it as an inability to do the Tnufa in that case. And therefore, you could bring the Korban and you won't have to give the gift to the Kohanim. Because, number one, there is no din of Kohanim by Bama Ketana. And then, if you can't do the Tnufa, then there's no din of doing the Hafrasha to give it to the Kohanim anyway. So either way, it would be something that you wouldn't do on a Bama Ketana. So you bring the Korbanot without doing this avoda to them. The Gemara says about that, v'ilu azro b'sheila. Zro b'sheila, which is the particular item in addition to what a normal shlamim gives, this zro b'sheila is also taken off of the shamit nazir, and it wasn't mentioned in the distinctions between a bamak tana and a bamak gdola. And shmamina, from that, lo karve shamit nazir b'bama. That shows you that shamit nazir are not brought on a bama whatsoever. Because if they were brought on a bama, then you would have to note it that if they're brought on a bama, you can't do the truma or the hanafa that is associated with that gift that is taken off the shamin nazir. And so therefore its absence shows that there must be somebody who has an opinion that they cannot be brought on a bama ktana. According to the way Shmuel says it now, everyone agrees that the olot and the shlamim can be brought on the bama ktana for the nazir. So bishlama bola u'shlamim plige. If you say the chachamim disagree even by olot u'shlamim, hamani, then the author of that braita is the rabbanani. Eli amart b'chatat v'asham plige. If you say that they only argue about chatat v'asham, hamani, who's the author of that braita both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim believe that when it comes to Olot HaShlamim of a Nazir, they can be brought on a Bama Ktana. Ela Iitmar Hachi Itmar. We have to amend Rav Shmuel's statement to say the following. Amar Shmuel Machloket Be'ula Ve'ushlamim. The Machloket between the Chachamim is by the Ula and the Shlamim. But by Chatat Hashem, everybody agrees that those are obligatory offerings and they cannot be brought. So in the end, Rabbi Meir does not believe that Nizirut itself is considered to be a Nidava. Rather, there are components of the Nizirut that are considered to be a Nidava. Those components can be brought on a Bama Ktana, that's the Ula and the Shlamim. On the other hand, he agrees with the Chachamim with regards to the Chatat Hashem, which are obligatory offerings in other contexts, that it's similar over here. And they cannot be brought on a Bama Ktana. Chachamim, on the other hand, think that all of it is considered to be a chuva and not a nidava, and therefore none of the korbanot can be brought on a Bama Ktana over here. So now the Gemara continues and goes back to the Braita and says, Amamar, v'chachamim omrim, kosher tzibur makrivin b'ohel moed. This is the view of the Chachamim. Anything that the tzibur did in the Mizbeach, in the Mishkan, they can also do on the Mizbeach in the Gilgal. But with regards to a Yachid, he can only bring nidar v'nidav, that's whether on a Bama Ktana, or a bama gidula. What's the reasoning behind the Rabbanon's position? Amarkra ish hayashar be'enav ya'aseh. Each individual can do as they please. A very difficult quote from the pasuk in Sefer Shoftim. It actually appears in Sefer Shoftim twice. Both times it says, "Bayamim ha'im ein melech b'Yisrael." Ish hayashar be'enav ya'aseh. A pasuk is a reflection on the anarchy that reigns in Sefer Shoftim because there's no leadership and there's no melech b'Yisrael. Almost as a background to that which is going to come up in Sefer Shmuel, where they're going to finally get proper leadership that's going to unify the Am and bring them to a proper place. But that has nothing to do with Heter HaBamot, has nothing to do with the Gilgal, especially since these psukim are written in the time that Shiloh is standing and still extant. So there was no Heter HaBamot during that time. The psukim are written with regards to Pesel Micha and with regards to Pilegesh B'Givah, trying almost to explain the difficult circumstances that are transpiring at that time to a lack of proper leadership or to people doing as they please. So more likely the pasuk that should have been quoted over here is the pasuk that we've been quoting all along from Devarim Yud Bet and Parashat Re'eh, and that would make more sense over here. It just seems to be that it's a misquote. Lo tazun kol she'ar anachnu osim po hayom, ish kol yashar be'inav. That's probably what should have been quoted over here. And you can see that already on the side of the Gemara, the margin over here, that there was an alternate girsa of Ish Kol Yashar Be'enav, and that's from Devarim Yud Bet, from Parshat Re'eh. Now given that, the Chachamim's drasha is, Ish Yisharot Hu Dilikrov, and Ish, individuals can bring those things that are Yashar. Those are Nidar V'Nidav, those are Olot and Shlamim. Kovot, Lo Likrov. When it comes to obligatory korbanot, he can't bring them. That means whether on a bama ktana or a bama gdola. Bitzibur, which is not mentioned in the pasuk, Afilu Kovot Likrov. They can bring whatever they need to bring because there's no defining kol asher be'enav that is associated with the tzibur. It's only associated with the ish. And therefore, the ish is bound by isharot, which is the nidar v'nidav, or the olot and hashamim. The tzibur is not bound by that at all. V'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that a yachid can bring olot and shlamim on a bama ktana, but on a bama gdola, they can bring whatever they need to bring, including chovot. How is he going to explain this pasuk? Amar lecha kiktiv hayashar. It doesn't write in the pasuk that it is hayashar, but rather hayashar be'enav hu dichtiv. It's focused on hayashar be'enav. Hayashar be'enav is any place that you so choose. Any place that you choose is speaking about a bama ktana. Aval b'bama gdola, when it comes to the central mizbeach, afilu chovot nami likrov. Even chovot can be brought on that mizbeach. El haktiv ish. Wait a minute, doesn't the pasuk say ish in it, which implies that any time it's an individual, he's bound by this pasuk. Lav the memory to ish isharotu likrov. Hachovot lo likrov. Sounds like that he's bound by the pasuk, and an ish defines what is qualified by li isharot. That means that any individual, whether on a bama ktana or a bama gdola, would be governed by this and only be able to bring lolot and shlamim. Where it says, kiktiv ish, lakshir tazar. The reason that we write ish over here is to tell you that a bama does not require a kohen, but even a zar, anybody can work and do the avoda on a bama. Where it says, zar, that we already know from Bereshit Acharemot, when it says, zarak a kohen at the dam of Mizbach Hashem, petach olmoed, v'kter achilib derech nichoach la'Hashem. When the Mizbach Hashem is petach olmoed, then there's a requirement of Kohen. Without that, there is no requirement of Kohen, and that's what the Gemara says over here. We already know that from Mizrach HaKohen at the Dam Mizbach HaShem Nafka. Maudetema Libayi Kiddush Bechorot Kimiikara. Maybe you don't require a Kohen, but maybe we go back to the old way it was, and that we will require you to use a Bechor to do the Avoda. So fine, we don't need a Kohen, But maybe you still need a bechor. Along comes the pasuk over here of Ish to tell you that you don't even need a bechor. Kamash Balan, anyone could do the avoda when there is heter ha bamot. Now the Gemara asks the question that we asked before, which is Chachamim Hainu Tanakama. The Chachamim that come later are exactly the same shita as the Chachamim that came earlier. So Amar Papa Karvu Nisachim Bamidbar Ikabeinayu. Whether they brought Nisachim in the Midbar is the Nafkamina between them. And therefore the second set of Chachamim are the ones who are additive, because the fact that they say Kosha Tzibur Makrivim was unnecessary language. That is already true of all the opinions beforehand, and of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as well. All they need to do is address the Yachid, where they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. The fact that they added in that extra language about the Tzibur comes to tell us that they have something more or additive above and beyond what was said by the Chachamim until that point in time. So they're coming to add the fact that the Korbanot in the Midbar, they had Nisachim that were associated with them. Just like in the Midbar, the Yachid and the Tzibur brought Nisachim in the Mishkan, so too when they enter into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to do that on the Bama Gdola in the Gilgal. Despite the fact that in Parshat Shlach it says, Ki Tavo El Eretz Moshevotechem, which seems to indicate that that only starts when you enter into Eretz Yisrael, the Ki Tavo El Eretz Moshevotechem comes to teach you that even on a Bama Ktana, you're going to require Nisachim after you enter into Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, the original Chachamim, who said that the only thing that a Yachid could bring is Olot and Shlamim, they believe that in the Midbar there were no Nisachim. And the Ki Tovo El Haaretz is coming to be Mechayev Nisachim once Mishkan Shiloh is set up, after Yerusha V'Yeshiva, like we said earlier, and we discussed over there the question as to why it doesn't start immediately and why we wait until Mishkan Shiloh back on Daf Kuf Yud of Aleph. And therefore, not on a Bama Gdola, not on a Bama Ktana, were there Nisachim, according to this view. According to the Bali Tosafot back in Kuf Yud Aleph, it was later on in Novin Givon that it did have impact, and they did bring Nisachim on a Bama Gdola. But up front, a Bama Ktana and a Bama Gdola did not have Nisachim, because in the Midbar, they also didn't have Nisachim. Nisachim only started after Yerusha V'Yeshiva, which was in Mishkan Shiloh. As the Pasuk says, El Eretz Moshevotechem, until there is Yeshiva, there is no requirement of Nisachim. And that's the nafkamina between these two opinions. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Kuf Yud Chet Amud Aleph.